passage I want to read is on 1234 of the Pew Bibles. And it's the beginning of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, then to the 12. After that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. God will bless that reading of his word to us. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. One of the things that characterizes and should characterize us as believers is a sense of joy, a sense of certainty, a sense of appreciation. Life gets pretty hectic, doesn't it? And our minds have to focus on so many things, day by day. And it's easy to be caught up in the life in which we live and forget. For me, I can't help sharing, but every Easter is a reminder to me of something very significant. A personal experience that I have to remember every Easter. The Apostle Paul, as he's writing to the church at Corinth, he is bringing them back, if you like, to basics, back to what is important. All kinds of things occupy our minds and are important. But the Apostle Paul comes back as he is writing this letter to what is of first importance, what should be. What is a priority? You know, I guess we make decisions every day about what we're going to do, and we prioritize. We often put off things that we should be doing and get on with the things that we like to do, rather than sometimes there are things that we should be doing that we just put to one side. I have to confess, that's part of my makeup. That's not good. But we need to come to realize that the events that we celebrate today, the events that we celebrate on Easter weekend, are events that are of first importance to us as believers. It is a fact. And you know, that I was encouraged. I had a newspaper delivered. They talked me into receiving a newspaper in one of these stores on a trial basis, they said. But what I was encouraged about is the first time I opened that paper, there was a great amount to do with this particular weekend and how important the weekend is. And that staggered me in a national newspaper. That it was suggesting that it is an important weekend. And somebody who was not a believer was saying, even though I don't believe, I recognize the importance of what it means to people, and that our society has been built upon those guidelines that are contained within the Jewish and Christian tradition. Because Passover and Easter are so tightly close together. But, you know, first importance, says the Apostle Paul. You see, we need to get to where the priorities are. I remember thinking, even as a child, I remember thinking about these events. You know, when somebody said to me this morning, I haven't had an Easter egg yet. But I said, maybe you haven't searched for it yet. It may be hidden somewhere. You know, as a child, it was all about Easter eggs and Easter bonnets. And one of the things I had, one of the roles I played when I was in Wales, that I used to go and preach in retirement holiday convalescent place every Sunday. And on Easter, the people who came to stay, they always decorated their bonnets. And I had to judge the Easter bonnets. But it was all about these other things. But I knew that, and I remember thinking about the events and wondering to myself, can it be true? Did it really happen? Did those events that I was hearing about in church really take place? And if they did, does it really apply to me? The Apostle Paul says this, what I received I passed on to you as of first importance. You see, the Apostle Paul was one who had come to realize what was important. And as a result of what he had learned himself, he passed it on. You know, there's a song that says, if you've had a kindness shown, pass it on. And if we have learned something that is wonderful, it's good to pass it on, right? There's always, there is that aspect that is encouraged in some ways of passing it on, right? You know, the Olympics are this year, and I was reading of those people who are, some Baptists are going to be carrying the torch as it travels through the UK. And they pass the torch on. It's being passed on. It's significant. And we need to learn how to pass it on. How to pass on as the Apostle Paul did. He said, I've passed on what I have learned, what I have received, I pass on to you. We are living in a society that's very selfish, and we often keep things, we say things are very personal, we hold on to those things that are precious to us. But sometimes it's good to recognize that we need to pass on. And what is Paul saying is that what is of first importance is what he had passed on. What was that? He said, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That he appeared to Peter and so on. The Apostle Paul is emphasizing the importance of the scriptures. He is helping us to understand that these scriptures point us to the Savior. The Old Testament brings us, points to his coming. The New Testament records his coming. And the epistles remind us of the way in which that event changed the lives of so many people, and how those who received it passed it on, the message of good news we are able to hear today because it was passed on down through the centuries. You see, it was not just an event that was not planned, it was part of God's plan. That Christ's death on the cross was for us. It was for our sins he died. So important for us to understand that. Many people look at that event in different ways. But I know, as I said, Easter is significant to me because it was at Easter I really understood that fact that Christ died for me. Christ died for my sins. It was something that my sister and I remembered together just a couple of months back. We remembered together and we know the difference it has made in our lives. To know that Christ died for us. But that isn't the end of it. What is important, he says, he was buried. So his body was taken from the cross and he was put in a tomb and a big rock was placed over the entrance of the tomb to make sure that was where he was placed. But it's also good to remember that on the third day, he rose. That stone was rolled away. We had that reading as we read in our call to worship this morning. The stone was rolled away. And Christ rose. The grave clothes were left. But he was risen. He was alive again. Many people make conjecture and suggest that it was not a bodily resurrection, but he said to them, he reminded them that he still had flesh and blood after the resurrection. I believe that he rose victorious over death. He's still, in the account that we have in the Gospels, we're reminded that he showed them his hands and his feet. The marks of the nails. How much does he love you that much? He loves each of us. And so this event is significant. The events of that particular weekend are significant, that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day. And Paul, as he writes here, he comes to a place of confession. He comes to that place as he realizes this is important for us, to realize that Christ did what he did for us. He came into the world to be the Savior, and to be the Savior he had to offer himself as that Lamb of God. That sacrifice was necessary. He who, and on Friday I shared, he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Apostle Paul says that event and those events are important. First importance. It was a priority in his life, you see, because he knew what it was to be in opposition to the Christian church. And it was not until he met and had an encounter with the risen Christ on that road to Damascus that his life was transformed. And then he recognized the grace of God. He didn't deserve to be forgiven, but he was. And he knew the power of God in his life as a result of his turning away from the way that he had been and turning to do what God had called him to do. You see, the reality is, as Paul is writing this letter, he is reminding them that those events can be verified. That the events of that weekend, that Christ had risen, could be verified because there were people there who had witnessed it. He had not. He had encountered the risen Christ, but he had not witnessed the crucifixion. But he reminds them that at that time, he said, he appeared to Peter, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. So it wasn't just a few people who witnessed it. It was hundreds who witnessed the risen Christ. He revealed himself to his disciples. He revealed himself to Mary. He revealed himself to so many after his resurrection. You see, it is significant to us that we have hope because of Christ. He is our hope. He is the one who died, was buried, and rose victorious over death. I remember well that Easter when I, along with my sister, we came to the understanding of what Christ had done for us. And we invited him into our lives, and as children, our lives were changed. You say, how can a child's life be changed when you're a child? Well, I tell you what, I knew the difference. I used to have to go to church in the morning, in the afternoon for Sunday school, in the evening for another service, and the evening services were so... I often fell asleep until that day when I'd invited Christ into my life. Then I was open. I was eager to learn. I wanted to hear. I wanted to learn more about Jesus. I wanted to follow him. I can't explain. But I no longer went to sleep. I took in and I soaked in all that was being taught. And I thank God for that. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote when he wrote to Timothy, he said that I know that from a child you've known the scriptures. And I thank God that that is true for myself. It's not true for everyone, but it was true for me, and I've been so blessed as a result. But the hope that we have in Christ is because of his death, his burial, his resurrection. He was dead. That's why that centurion pierced his side with a sword. Normally they would break the bones to make sure that to speed up the death, but Christ gave his life for us. Into thy hands I commend my spirit, he said. And he died. But he rose. Hallelujah. He rose from the dead. He is alive, and we can encounter him by his Holy Spirit. He is with us today. As I said to you, it was a real blessing. Yesterday, we had our grandchildren, three of our grandchildren came and visit us, and Tally, she is six. She wanted to draw a picture for Grandma and Grandpa. And so I gave her some paper, and she said to me, "What should I draw?" Well, I said, "Draw something about Easter." And she sat there, and she drew, and then she brought a picture. And I brought the picture to show you, because I was surprised, and it was a blessing. This is what she drew. Can you see that? Three crosses, one in the middle, red, Jesus, his blood shed for us. So that's Easter. Wait a minute. On the other side. On the third day, he had risen. See the picture with question marks? Those. Well, there are question marks there. Bubbles that there are two people there, two ladies, I guess, and the stone rolled away. Wow. After she had drawn those pictures, she started singing about Jesus. And Sandy said to her son, is that something that she's learned in Sunday school? No, she's composing. She was singing about Jesus in a wonderful way. 6 year old. Praise God. It's not so much about the Easter bunnies and the Easter eggs, although those are important to her. But significant too. The events that the Apostle Paul said are of first importance. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. It was part of God's plan. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. As believers, we need to be excited. The Apostle Paul recognized that Christ had changed his life. That encounter with Jesus had changed his life dramatically. From being a persecutor of the church, he was a promoter of Christ and his grace and his mercy to us. And he preached the gospel to everyone. He says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect." In other words, it made a difference. Does Christ make a difference in your life? Has he made a difference? Yes. Well, let's show it. Let's be a people who will show that difference through the things we do. His grace. He says, "I worked harder than all, but not I, but the grace of God that was with me." You see, it's no good depending on ourselves. We need to depend upon him. And I'm so thankful for that Easter day when I came to understand through a Canadian, believe it or not, a Canadian preacher who shared the wonderful reality that Christ died for our sins. He was buried and rose victorious over death. At Easter time, I also, as I think about the resurrection of Christ, I also think of the impact of the way in which Jesus was baptized in Jordan River. He was baptized in the Jordan River by John, and John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And Jesus asked John to baptize him, and Jesus said, and John said, I'm not worthy even to undo your shoes. But he did. Remember when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, you wonder he had not sinned because John was preaching a message of repentance, of turning away from sin and turning back to God because the people had turned away from God. When Jesus had been baptized, the voice from heaven and the dove that descended upon him, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You see, Jesus was identifying with sinners. He didn't need to be baptized, but baptism was important and significant because baptism talked about death, burial, and resurrection. At least the time we think about new life. And as Baptists, we believe in baptism by immersion. And I remember trying to explain that to an Anglican who didn't understand about baptism by immersion. And when I shared with him, he was just wowed by the impact and the significance of going under the water, being buried with Christ, dying with him, putting to death the old life and rising again to new life. I thank God that he has given us a way in which we can identify with Christ. When we know what he has done for us, we can come and be baptized. We can come and go through death into life. Baptism itself, that act of baptism, isn't anything, it is symbolic of something that has already taken place in a person's life. That they have put to death the old nature, they've been buried with Christ, but they rise again in newness of life. The resurrection is important. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus are important. Paul says, of first importance. Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Thanks God for his grace and his mercy to us. The grace of God can work in and through us. John Newton wrote, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Like the Apostle Paul, he recognized the way that he'd been, a wretch. But transformed, forgiven. May each of us have that certainty of knowing that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again victorious. May we know his presence in our lives. May we know the joy that he gives us as we allow his grace to work through us. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Let us continue to rejoice that as believers in Jesus, we serve a risen Savior. We're going to sing that together. It's a wonderful hymn, 302. And let me just read the first verse to you. And as we sing it, let's make a statement. Let's affirm it. You see, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever some may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. That's so true. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. You know, one of the joys I have in serving in the nursing home in Barrie is sometimes when I take my accordion to the Alzheimer unit and I play, I come to the garden alone, and the words come from some of those dear people. He walks with me, yet he talks with me. Just here we sing, he walks with me, yet he talks with me, a long life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. That's a wonderful reality. As a believer in Jesus, we are changed. We have his presence with us always. So let's stand and sing this victorious hymn.
Amen.